Hello, and welcome to Stories of the Journey Home. This is Leo Sofa. And today, I've got a live recording of a story that I told a few months ago. This is a story on the theme of reunion that was commissioned by a Swedish storytelling festival. That when I got the commission, I sought to get an intuitive story on this theme, but this time I wanted to add some songs to it. My wife Sandara is an amazing song composer, and we wanted to work together to create a storytelling show that was a mixture of music, storytelling, and songs, and that they would blend together in a way that would be hypnotic, incantatory, draw people deeper into the mystery, into the theme of reunion. Well, what you're about to hear is a live recording for a small audience in a cozy venue in the north of England. And it's a story that speaks, I think, to a modern longing. Indeed, you could say an eternally human longing. The longing to return in some way to the memory that we all hold deep inside of us. The longing to return to the reality that we're all one. We're all ultimately the same consciousness. And the further we've progressed in our technology and our civilization, the further we've got away from many expressions of that essential knowing. And this story is an invitation to return back, to that. So, I hope you enjoy the story and the songs and the remembering. Mountains in a place with beautifully clear air. Just being there was inspiring. Just walking among the high pastures there was uplifting, and the sky was blue. The rivers ran so clear. Everything was fertile, and she had their special berries. It was so full of life that every season, even her neighbours who lived in the same region, they would come over because there was something about her berries that was special. You could eat them and just return to the joy of being alive, being able to taste, being able to be in life, in the world. It was quite special. But one time, she's just up in the mountains, picking the latest crop. And it comes to her, I need to take these down to the city. Which is a strange idea, because the city's like 3 or 4 days travelling away. And she'd always dismissed such an idea before because, well, it's a long way down, and by the time she gets there, the berries will all be mush. What would be the point in that? She dismisses the idea, and the next day, it comes back even stronger. I need to take my berries to the city.
she thinks it through again, and she thinks of the logistics of the travel and the bumpiness of the track and the delicacy of the berries and the whole foolishness of the idea and dismisses it once more. And the next morning, she wakes up at 4 a.m. and the moon says, take your berries to market. And she gets up and she gets dressed and she goes out and she harvests enough berries to fill a cart. And that morning, it's very strange. All the soft things of the farm, they're just suggesting themselves to her. Like the wool on the fences and the straw between the fields and the feathers that just happen to be on the path. All the soft things of her place, they suggest themselves to her. And every little berry gets a little bit of padding and every box is perfectly put together so that no harm can come to it. And with confidence now and a certain level of obedience, she just sets off down the path thinking, I wonder where this will go and what this will lead to, but I have to go. And she arrives eventually in the city, the big bustling city, and already she's glad she lives up the mountains because it's so busy and bustling and people look a little bit depressed. She goes to the marketplace and she sets up a little stall. There's one waiting for her. And as soon as she puts her little berries out on the table, why, it's amazing. They go like that. She can hardly take care of all the sales before they're all gone. And the last person who's already running off with the last box, she's kept one behind for the trip back home, but the last box has just gone that was for sale, and she says, hey! Person guiltily turns around. Oh, why did my berries go so quick? Why did you buy my berries? What's going on round here? The person has a scared look in their face and runs. She says, that's very strange. And then she notices someone else in the square, someone else who bought some of her berries. She goes over to that person very boldly. That person can see her coming and is already checking where they can run off to, but they can't because she's got them cornered. She says, why did you buy my berries? Why did my fruit go so quick round here? And they said, well, you didn't hear this from me, but the queen has gone a little bit mad. It started a while back and it's got worse and worse and worse until now she's passing strange laws that don't benefit anybody. And the latest and the worst has been no fruit, or anything sweet for that matter, on pain of imprisonment. So, you're going to be in trouble. And so would I if you heard this from me. And with that, they're gone. And she thinks to herself, trouble? If this is the kind of trouble I'm in, then I welcome it, because this is crazy. And she goes and finds one of her cousins, a cousin who lives nearby. That cousin lives in the city, and she goes to her and she says, I'd like to trade places with you tomorrow morning. Would that be possible? Could I wear your uniform? Could I go into the palace? Well, that's exactly what she does the next day. She goes into the palace, and she's now got with her that little box of berries, the little box of berries that she took with her, that she had for her own trip home, that she's taken with her, and she's gone into the palace with it, and she's gone looking for the queen. Yes, she's gone looking for the queen. Takes a while to find her. Takes a while of some searching to find her. But after a little while, she hears her down a corridor in her room, sobbing a little, sobbing like a kind of deranged kind of sobbing. With a sense of purpose. By the queen she goes, the farmer she goes down the corridor. She doesn't say a word, she just puts the berries on the table in front of the queen. And the queen absent-mindedly takes a few. She puts them to her lips. She eats them. And our friend, she's thinking, well, now she'll cheer up a little bit. This'll be good for her. But before long, the queen, she's sobbing. Sobbing? And our friend is sitting there wondering why. She sobs and she sobs, a heart-rending kind of sob. And when she's finished, "Ah, friend," she says, "what, your majesty, what are you crying for?" This is what she said. "First there were the trees, I love the trees. First there were the trees, I love the trees. So tall and strong, so tall and strong. Now they're all gone. Now they're all gone. Then there was the air, I love the air. Then there was the air, I love the air. So pure and clear, so pure and clear. Now that's all gone. Then there was the sky, I love the sky. Then there was the sky, I love the sky. So blue, so high, so blue, so high. Now that's all gone. Now that's all gone." And our friend, she says, "Your Majesty, what are you talking about? Why all this crying and what all these words mean?" And the Queen, she says, "When I was a child, I remember what it was like. Your berries have brought it back, and it breaks my heart to realise how far I've come from that kind of beauty. I used to swim in rivers. I used to climb trees. I used to gaze up at the sky. I used to be there, a part of everything. And now all I do is I shuffle papers and I stare at the woodwork. And I go from one day to the next, and I can't remember any of that." And the Queen, she takes a look. The farmer, she takes a look at the Queen and she says, "You, Missy, are coming with me." And she takes her up the mountain. She does. She takes her up the mountain all the way back to her farm in the mountain. And the Queen is so happy. It's like she recognizes where she is. She remembers where she is. And all that day she's swimming in the rivers and climbing the trees and dancing for joy, and she goes to bed tired, tired that evening. And our friend the farmer, she says, "Well, that was a good day's work. I'm very pleased with what I did, and I hope she'll be gone the following morning." But the next morning at four, why? She's up. And something calls her out of bed, the same thing that had called her down to the city. Yes. Gets her out of bed. And downstairs and out into the fields. To the orchards where the berries leap into her basket. Yes, they do. Her hands move, but the berries pick themselves. A bowl brimming with fruit, sitting on the breakfast table, waiting for the Queen. Well, it's the same story. It's the same story, and quite disconcerting if you're the one that's made that fruit, that's at least farmed that fruit. It's a bit disconcerting when someone starts blubbering when they eat your produce. But that's exactly what happens. She gives the bowl to the Queen. The Queen eats it, and at first it's rather lovely. At first it's delicious and uplifting and beautiful. But before long, she's crying. She's crying. Our friend says, "What? What, Your Majesty?" This is eventually what the Queen says. The sun was once my brother. The sun was once my brother. Now we pretend we don't know one another. The sun was once my brother. The moon was once my sister. The moon was once my sister. Now it's a long time since I even missed her. The moon was once my sister. Open through the whole of this, not comprehending anything of what she was hearing. But as the day went by, she slowly started to understand. As she saw the Queen walking under the heavens, walking in the sun's light. And it looked to her like the reunion of lost lovers, as the Queen let the light fall on her skin, as she let the light move her through the fields golden corn. So beautiful that the farmer simply followed in her wake, watching, watching. And as the sun set and the moon rose, ah, such beauty to see the Queen dance in the moonlight. Just like lovers who have been cast asunder and are now once again together. The Queen went to bed late that night. And our friend, she crawls to bed. And she says, well, that was a good piece of work I did. I hope she goes tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning has other plans. She's had a few hours sleep, and already she's pulled out of bed, pulled downstairs, staggering across the fields towards where the berries are. And this time the moon picks the berries. She sees her hands move, but they are not her own hands anymore. The moon picks the berries. That one glistening there in the moonlight. That one calling, calling to be picked. soon her basket's brimming. Soon she goes home and she just lays the basket on the table and she goes back to bed and she sleeps. She prays that it will be a few more hours. Well, it's a few more hours, but it's not enough. And the following morning, as the sunlight is already coming in through the window, why, she hears downstairs what's become a familiar sound. A familiar sound of royalty weeping downstairs in the kitchen. And she thinks, oh, what now, what now? And she goes downstairs and there's the queen, a bowl of berries empty there in front of her and her tears streaking her cheeks. Now, friend, she's a little bit more experienced now. She just sits down and she waits. She waits and she waits and it's a long time coming and this seems to be a particularly painful one. Her queen's chest shaking and sobbing. Shaken and sobbing until at last she's quiet. The farmer says, and this time? And this is what the queen says.
I knew my purpose, yes. I knew my purpose, yes. To see all things as part of me, to see all things as part of me. I knew my purpose. I knew my purpose, yes. I knew my purpose, yes. To see the stranger as a friend, to see the stranger as a friend. I knew my purpose. I knew my purpose, yes. To see all trouble as a gift. To see all trouble as a gift. I knew my purpose. I knew my purpose, yes. I knew my purpose, yes. To see all hindrance as a door, to see all hindrance as a door. I knew my purpose. I knew my purpose. I knew my purpose.
And without even explaining anything else, she was gone. She was gone. She ran out of the farmhouse and she ran down the mountain and she went back to her kingdom, back to her palace, and she visited all the regional mayors who she knew were speaking against her. And she listened to them. And at the end, she thanked them. And she apologised for ever seeing them as anything less than a loyal subject, as anything less than a friend. She went around all her courtiers and she listened to them and she forgave them. And she apologised for seeing them in any other way than a friend, than a loyal subject. She went to everybody who'd spoken against her, anyone that she had judged. And she forgave not only them, but herself too, for having and holding the judgment. And this took ages, because it was quite a rancorous kingdom. It took ages. And she'd lived a long time, and, well, politics being what it was, she'd made a lot of enemies. But she left no stone unturned. She left no person unforgiven. She left no conflict unvisited. She returned and made everything right, if not between each other, but in herself at least. She forgave everyone. And then, one last time, she goes back up the mountain. And our friend, she sees her coming and she thinks, oh no, this time. Comes, you give them a place to stay. I hope you all remember that. When royalty comes, you give it a place to stay. That's certainly what she'd been told when she was a child. So when she sees the queen coming up the hillside, she thinks, well, I've got to give her a place to stay. So she does. And the queen is very happy and very happy to be back in her bed and her room. And our friend, she cannot sleep that night. The whole room is electrified. The whole farm is electrified. She doesn't know whether it's the moonlight, the stars, or the berries calling her from beyond. But she can't sleep. And as dawn comes, why, she goes obediently out into the fields, to the orchards beyond. And soon she has a basket full of berries, and soon they're on the table, and she just waits this time. And the queen comes down, and the queen eats, and it's one last time, and they all know that. It's one last time. And our friend is sitting there thinking, well, what could it be this time? What is left for this royal personage who's done everything? How could she possibly do more? What could be left unreunited? Well, she soon hears, because after the usual crying and sobbing and blubbering, this is what the queen says.
I had forgotten you. Been so close, but I had forgotten you. I had forgotten you. I had forgotten you. Such bonds we'd had. But I had forgotten you. Stronger than the stars, stronger than the ocean, stronger than this great commotion. So how could I have forgotten you? Our paths began as one wish, one goal, all as one and one as all. So how could I have forgotten you? With each step the memory fades, with each step the memory fades. The bond is lost, for I had forgotten you. For I had forgotten you. For I had forgotten. Thank you.
that day the queen goes down the mountain, and every person she encounters them like you would a long-lost brother, or a long-lost sister, or a friend you lost touch with years ago but have always loved, or a wife, or a husband who you thought dead and has now returned to you. Everyone she greeted it this way, and they are all startled and then overwhelmed with her love, with her sense of knowing them, deeply knowing them. She did this all the way through her kingdom. She went all over. Everybody in the kingdom she greeted in this way. You, I remember you now. I remember we've never been apart. We've always been this close. I just forgot. I just forgot. Everywhere she went, until she came back to her kingdom, and by now the word had travelled that if you wanted love, go see the queen. If you wanted to be seen with no barriers, go and see the queen. If you've lost touch with who you really are, go see the queen. And from all over that kingdom, and from kingdoms neighbouring to that one, they came. They came. And they came in humility. They came out of longing. They came knowing that if there was one person who could see them truly and love them as they were, they'd walk anywhere to see them. Until that place was brimming with laughter. Brimming with laughter and joy. And so many people came that soon the whole palace was transformed and the city with it. Imagine a place where everybody knows their true worth, where everyone has been seen for who they are and can rest in that. So good. And well, I was walking through that countryside as well myself. I was walking through and quite forgotten all of this, quite forgotten all of this. And when I heard that there was the love palace there on the hill, I thought, well, I'll try anything once. And so off there I went, off there I went. And I joined the queue and I joined the line of all the people who'd come, the lost souls who'd come looking to be loved and seen as they really were. And I can't describe how it was, my friends. I can't. All I can say is that from one moment to the next, I was transformed. From one moment to the next, I was transformed. It was never the same again. And that's when I arrived here, brimming full of the story that I just told you, brimming full of what I got from just one whisper in the ear from a queen like that. Just one whisper. And I'd like to find my way back there again. I'd like to see her again and get more stories. And when I do, why, maybe I'll come here again and tell you another one.
Thank you for listening to Stories of the Journey Home. If you'd like to hear more stories like this, you can go to my website, storiesofthejourneyhome.com. You can sign up for my monthly podcast, and you can also check out the many services that I have to offer. I teach people intuitive storytelling. I teach parents to tell intuitive stories to their children. I also offer one-to-one training as well as one-to-one personal stories just told for you on whatever it is that's up for you right now. You can find out more at storiesofthejourneyhome.com. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.